This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run. Good morning, I'm Wong Xiaoning, here with the one and only Koo Soo Chuang.
And I'm one, I'm here with a host with the most.
It's 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday the 6th of July, and according to weather reports, let's do something slightly unconventional. It's supposed to rain later this afternoon, just like it did yesterday. But in the meantime, how was your weekend, Chuang? Were you out there just like every other Malaysian? My Facebook pages were filled with people whitewater rafting, eating in Ipoh, Penang, and just going on a chuti-chuti Malaysia.
Yeah, I fear that second wave, actually, Xiaoning, because in America, it's happening all over the place, right? Nevada, Texas. I think that people are getting too complacent. I was in Penang, actually, and it wasn't that bad.
Heading to that complacency.
No. I was actually social distancing in parts of Penang that nobody really goes to. But Penang is not as robust as in terms of tourism as you might think.
Yeah, I suppose so, because let's admit it, right? We can never make up for the loss of foreign tourists.
No, you can't. And the borders are still closed. People still can't fly in.
Yeah, and their share of the wallet is much higher, right?
Much bigger, yeah.
But nonetheless, I think if you practice a safe physical distancing, you know, do all the things you're supposed to do, keep your hands clean, I think you can still go out there, just that you can't take things for granted.
Yeah, I mean, 4th of July weekend in America, right? They had the biggest ever jump in God knows when, 40,000 cases or something, right? It's just crazy.
But they never left their first wave, Trump.
Yeah, in a way, but, you know, to some extent, there was lockdown in many parts of America. They did, right? By and large, right? And they've just kind of come out. And how can you social distance in a crowd if you're in a park? You can't, right?
That is true. And another thing I think that contributed to these high infection rates, of course, is the use of masks, which is why it is still recommended here. And you're right. I notice more and more people who don't wear masks in the malls, in the shops.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. But nonetheless, we do have several stories lined up for you in the next hour, later on at the 6:30 news or so bulletin. What do we have firstly, Chuang?
Well, we've got one Malaysian minister's ingenious and very original and never before heard, seen or done.
Never before, right?
Never before seen in
so
glorious
new.
Yeah, suggestion to how to galvanize the domestic economy.
Wow, and I'll be talking about why heroes of today may not be the heroes of tomorrow, and that puts us in a quandary. So if you want to weigh in on our conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, Torn by Natalie Imbruglia. This is a song I listened to when I was in university. It's fantastic. BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Wong Xiaoning with Koo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. We'll be with you till 10 a.m., and I think the next story is rather interesting, and it's kind of related to what's happening in America, of course. Two things. They just celebrated their 4th of July and COVID-19. So this is a story from BBC. So President Donald Trump announced during a speech in front of Mount Rushmore on Friday an executive order to establish this National Garden of American Heroes, featuring statues of what they consider historically important Americans. Now, so some of the names include presidents and historical figures. So Ronald Reagan, Abraham Lincoln, Amelia Earhart, and Billy Graham among them. So what do you think about this, Trump? Because I think this is against the backdrop of all these statues that have been defaced recently or even brought down.
He's got no clue what is going on. He has
no
contact about what's happening on the ground in terms of larger America's disdain with the monoliths and the structures of America, right? I've seen pictures of Christopher Columbus statues being pulled down, all kinds of monuments all over the country being pulled down because broad America is so resentful. I don't think that's too strong a word. So angry with what's happening with the country in terms of the wealth divide, in terms of how they've been treated, in terms of how they've been told to sit behind closed doors and lose their jobs because of this COVID-19 virus. And this guy wants to build more statues. I mean, what is he doing?
Well, he said that, you know, you were kind of erasing American history. He totally disagrees with it. He actually wants to put people away for defacing statues. But if you think about it from a broader perspective, right, Chuang, I think when it comes to statues, my issue is what is correct in those days may not be correct today. And the problem is, do we then keep changing our history because we don't like it or erasing it in a way?
Well, yeah, exactly. Because a lot of these statues, a lot of these people, they represent something that America was 200 years ago, which is even more racist than it was today, than it is today,
But
right?
Does it mean you have the right to then just take
absolutely
it down?
Not. Absolutely not, right? Absolutely not.
So just leave it there or put it somewhere else. Somebody, that was some of the suggestions I've seen. Saying that, okay, there's no point erasing history, right? We should learn from these lessons, but maybe we shouldn't put them in a, such a prominent place.
Well, George Floyd demonstrated, right, that America hasn't really learned very much from its checkered history. But you're right. You can't just say, oh, it didn't happen. And but you see, the thing is, conceptually, you're right. You and I are conceptually on the same page. But on the ground, you cannot argue with thousands and basically hundreds of thousands of disgruntled mobs. You can't. So what you do, you fix society, you fix the structures, you fix the structures that once made your country proud, right? In some way, shape, or form. You don't try and wipe out the headlines because you can't.
Yeah, but
because America feels that it's not being done by, right?
I mean,
done by.
For sure, when you look at the headlines, I think, what, this morning, 2.8 million Americans have contracted COVID-19.
Yeah.
Highest infection rates, probably one of the highest death rates. Economy is tanking. Unemployment is above 10%. And then you have a president that doesn't seem to be very... I think the body language and the tone is that he doesn't seem to be very concerned about what's going on the ground, you know, as if, like, it's nothing, guys. It will all pass. And, you know, America's great. There's, as long as you focus on that, that's fine. It doesn't really matter what's the reality. And you're right, there's that separation between the us and them, and the divide just seems to get wider and wider.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, they're trying to defund the police in America, right, because of George Floyd. They think that their taxpayer money is not being spent properly on the police force, which criminalizes them for just being the wrong color, right? And so, some of this awoke revolution is going in extreme directions, and I can't figure it out. I can only intellectualize what's happening in America because they're in such a bad state. The one percenters like Jeff Bezos are worth over $150 billion, right? And then the rest of the country? I mean, look at Elon Musk. Elon Musk's Tesla shares are over $1,300 a share, right? It is insane, right? But he's laying off people. He's telling people, don't come to my factory because you get COVID-19. And these guys are on minimum wage. So wouldn't you be disgruntled with Elon Musk?
Yeah, but I think it's not just economic, it's also the divide socially, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and also being ignored for decades.
Yeah.
And with each president, and it's not just President Trump. I would blame Obama and all those that came before him because these structural issues don't happen overnight. But the issue is, do you think COVID-19 allows for people to have that great reset that we keep thinking about, that we should look at society, how governments run differently? And even this is something, a conversation that we can have here in Malaysia.
We would like COVID-19 to have been a great reset. But unfortunately, and Malaysia is different because we have this government in many ways has not been validated by the broader country, right? But in America, Donald Trump had a chance, right? But the problem is politics is popular, right? And you can see Kanye West, for example, putting his hat into the his candidacy into the post for nomination as president. Politics in America is all about popularity. It's not about policy. And that's unfortunate because what Donald Trump is doing is he thinks he's still on TV, right?
Yeah,
but
you're fired.
Yeah.
Literally.
But policy-wise, America needs a huge reset. It's not getting it.
Yeah, but, you know, who knows what will happen because in November, the Americans are going for elections. Maybe there'll be someone new in the White House. I mean,
yeah.
The polls have turned against Trump recently. Biden seems to be...
By a huge margin, right?
Yeah. But this is a fun fact, by the way. Francis Light statue in Penang was also defaced.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next is another song, but stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Heartbreaker by the Girls. So quite a sad song, actually, to start the
really?
Monday morning. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Shaoning and Chuang. Now, over the weekend, the Malay Mail, there was this article whether we should buy Malaysia first in support of the country. I know the reality is that we're heading for an economic recession and we do need to support the economy, but Chuang, do you think this is the best way forward for us?
Well, no. I mean, the most glaring example of where it went awry was the fact that Malaysians were not even asked to. They were arm-twisted into buying local cars, right? And that was an experiment that went awfully wrong until Proton finally pulled their finger out and started building quality cars with the entry of not their own technology, China-made technology, right? So, I mean, you can tell people to buy domestic if it's good enough, and it, I think in many cases, it's not bad, right? But when you have a foreign substitute, which is of obviously higher quality, you can't tell Malaysians to go and buy that because always quality and price and quality always trumps your decision, right?
Yeah, I think when you look at the Buy Malaysia First program, I think it's complex because it's across the value chain of goods, right? So for me, if you really want to support the local economy and you mean Buy Malaysia, let's look at it from just the agriculture perspective. So let's say the food that we eat. I'm a big proponent of buying from the farmer himself because
I think
the middleman makes usually the bulk of the money. And you hear about these fishermen or these guys who grow crops in like Cameron Highlands, right?
Yeah.
They barely make enough money. It seems like the guys who bring these goods down, the logistic guys, the middlemen, they really make the money. So I'm all for this Buy Malaysia program. But when you think about it in terms of on a larger scale, on a bigger picture, my issue is that it's ironic because we, Malaysia, participate as one of the big exporting nations, right? We want to tell everybody, hey, buy our electrical goods that we make, buy our cars. And then at the same time, we tell people, hey, don't. Just buy our own things. So how does it work? It's a bit, I would say, hypocritical.
It's hypocrisy. And the whole global economy is riddled with hypocrisy, right? And nor is it a new kind of idea in any part of the world. So many times, buy British first, buy Australian products, right? And even within Malaysia, you've got people exhorting their own people to say, oh, you know, buy Chinese products or buy Muslim products or buy this product. It's, in a way, it's become like a political ploy. It's meant to galvanize support for whatever message you want to propose, and I agree with you. For example, when I was in Penang two and a half weekends ago,
you were there almost every other weekend.
I was right.
Chuang.
I was in Balipur. I drove all the way to Balipur to buy the durian from the actual estate.
That is truly Malaysia.
That's right. So I bought like 7 durians for like 33 ringgit. Okay, the kampung durians, right? That same damn durian was 25 bucks for one durian in Burma Road, just 15 kilometers down the road. Along the way, along that 15 kilometers, the lorry guy made his money, the merchant made his money, the coffee shop guy who works on commission gets his money. And then the poor guy who's from KL, right, unknowingly pays 25 ringgit per durian. Things is cheaper because in Taman Tun, that same durian is 45 ringgit.
But some would say that's how the economy works, right?
Yeah.
You have to if there's nobody buying and everybody's running just to Balik Pulau to buy the 7 durians for 33 ringgit, unfortunately, the economy is going to come to a grinding halt too, you see. So you need some balance there. But I think my point is, if you want to buy Malaysia, there's nothing wrong with it, but shouldn't it be something like, be proud of Malaysia. Be proud of the goods that we make that are worthy to be sold overseas.
Well,
it's all about quality, right?
You want nationalism, but you don't allow nationalism in your country. You give uneven privileges to different swaths of society. So you can't have your cake and eat it as well.
That is true. I do agree there. And I think it's like I go back to that point, right, where because we are an exporting nation, when we send out these messages, what kind of tone are we saying? Especially we are number one in palm oil. Sorry, number two, Indonesia is different.
Yeah, exactly.
Us,
yeah,
right?
15 years ago.
I mean, palm oil is our number one agriculture export. And what are we saying? We're telling people don't buy it. And we are lobbying against the Europeans who also take a very nationalistic stance, right, when it comes to their oils. They say, oh, don't, please, palm oil is bad for you. You know, it's bad for the environment. How do we position ourselves? Because then everybody just throws this, you know, the same accusations left, right and centre.
Yeah, I think if you want to protect your economy and make it great again, right?
Are you borrowing from somebody?
No. Not least of all an orange-haired nincompoop. If you want to have a domestic economy which is robust and resilient, then you have to do the right thing. You have to make it structurally stable, right? Right now, Malaysia's economy, like many other countries in the world, is not stable. It's not.
Yeah, I think a Buy Malaysia program is not the solution.
It's not.
If you really need to,
if Proton was a good car that didn't leak when the rain came,
or the windows could go up without pushing against it,
then people would have bought it anyway. Simple as that, right? And that's how the American car industry went sideways because it just couldn't cope with the Japanese. There's a reason why Toyota is the most valuable car maker in the world.
They
make good stuff. Not until last week, right?
Yeah, until last week.
But that's not going to last forever, I can bet you, because the Tesla shots are out in full force, right? But there's a reason why Toyota is the most valuable car maker, because they make good stuff, Simple period, full stop.
Yeah, let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we have the news bulletin. And to take us there is That's Not My Name by the Thing Things. What a cute band. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Good morning, I'm Shaoling with Koh Soo Chuang and this is The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. And that song was Australia by The Shins. A country we can't visit for the moment until we form what I think they call a green bubble.
Yeah, that's the case with most parts of the world, isn't it? But for the fact that the airports are shut and the trains are not running, the business would be booming, wouldn't it?
Yes. Anyway, let's look at some of the international headlines this morning. Now, the US saw many of its Independence Day celebrations cancelled over the weekend as a surge of COVID-19 infections were reported on Saturday. So Florida and Texas reported record case numbers. In fact, things are so bad in Texas, I heard, that they're going to impose masks as compulsory. Something new for Americans because they've been debating this for the longest time and there's been huge resistance on this matter.
The thing is, the mask is extremely effective, you know, because most of it is transmitted by human to human in our breath, right, within short proximities. Actually, if we wanted to do it all over the world, we should have done it, right? As opposed to quarantining and locking down people, we should have just said everybody wear masks and go to work. I wonder what would have happened if that was the case.
I think in the early days, there was this reluctance to impose masks because there just wasn't enough stock, right? That's the truth.
But not everybody and their dog is producing a mask, right?
Yeah, where to the point, I think there's oversupply and some of the manufacturers are like, you know, please help us, otherwise prices will collapse.
Yeah.
But in US, you know, there's all this freedom of the individual. And then there's this, should the federal be involved, the government be involved, should the state be involved? So I think there's still ongoing debate. But, you know, just a fun fact, for New York, Macy's, which traditionally has this super duper 1 hour fireworks display.
Yeah.
Instead, what they did was they had 5 minute firework displays over something like 6 boroughs to discourage people from congregating.
Incredible. I mean, America reported 53,000 new cases on Sunday. But now that you mentioned New York, right, I also read a separate report that said 80% of New York restaurants couldn't pay their June rent on time.
And apparently they're not going to allow people to eat in restaurants yet.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the reasons for these high infection rates in some of these states.
Yeah, which is also why I also saw Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley have also downgraded GDP forecasts for America because of the second wave. I mean, come on, what do you imagine, right?
It's the first wave that's getting stronger.
The first wave that just became a tsunami, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. And this is not only just in the US, because around the world, the number of new COVID-19 infections also reached a record high over the weekend, with the WHO reporting more than 10.9 million confirmed cases, over 200 of them reported in the span of 24 hours, and the deaths unfortunately have crossed the 500,000 mark last week.
Okay, so do you think there's anything that should be taken stock of here? Here we are 4 months into the pandemic, right? I mean, for example, mortality rates. I'm not saying it's not dangerous, okay? I'm just saying that we should take stock because there's other ramifications to what governments around the world have done in terms of the economy specifically and in terms of the social turmoil that's been happening in many countries around the world, but also specifically in America, okay? Now you've got basically riots in over 100 American cities that are just manned by hundreds and thousands of people who are just unhappy with the way life is, right? And it's not just America. In the last 10 years, and Nouriel Roubini has written an op-ed in the New York Times.
He's Mr. Dr. Doom, you know.
Well, he is, but you can't ignore the facts, right? People are just feeling disenfranchised. They've been left behind. They're socially immobile. They have not enjoyed the stock market rally of the last 12 years, right?
Yeah, in fact, since the great financial crisis, they've been even more left behind.
Yes, and these millions of people around the world are ripe for radicalization in the most extreme cases, right? The world is heading for a bad outcome if we don't fix it now. And what does Donald Trump do? Donald Trump wants to put up another statue for a war memorial. It doesn't make sense.
But before all this can even begin, the thing is, if you can't get your health situation in stock, you can't flatten the pandemic curve, there's no point, right? Because the death rates will just go up, infections will go up, and you can't restart the economy otherwise. So maybe you just have to take that bitter pill at the beginning. which you never did. You had some form of a very weak lockdown, which didn't succeed.
Yeah, I mean, because of the Second Amendment, you know, America, the land of the free and the brave.
Yes.
You can't tell me what to do because I know better and it's my right within the Constitution to do so.
Exactly, but countries who don't have these kind of amendments, let's say, for example, Vietnam.
That's right.
They completely clam down. They have zero deaths.
Yeah.
What does that say?
Well, that's exactly right. So, but yeah, you don't have those issues in Vietnam.
So maybe you do need to clamp down on the pandemic first before you can really concentrate on some of the deep-rooted structural issues that are facing America. But on an unusual note, we have one guy who wants to run for the presidential race now.
Yeah, so this is interesting because I don't think he's formally registered for his candidacy yet, right? He just tweeted his desire on Twitter. And then within an hour, there's over 100,000 retweets, okay? The thing is, he has done this in the wake of the George Floyd protests. And guess what, right? Kanye West is not only is he a pop icon, but he's also a black pop icon. And American politics is all about popularity. Look at Ronald Reagan. He was an actor when he came in and became president with some degree of success, some might say, right? And then Donald Trump is a TV celebrity, right? He ran his own talk show for years. What, Apprentice? You were an
yes.
Apprentice? Yeah, right?
But the
Apprentice?
They all had some form of political party backing at the end of the day, whether it was Ronald Reagan or whether it was Trump. They all had Republicans. I'm not sure what Kanye West's political party will be. Will it be the... I don't know, his own rap label?
Well, yeah. But he will represent all of America's, because there is no other black candidate that is of note in the roster right now, right? He's going to represent all the millions of Americans, all black Americans, all the millions of American Hispanics and the browns and the yellows and the greens and the blacks, right?
Well, let us know what you think. WhatsApp us on 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we'll take a look at the front pages of our daily newspapers and, of course, the online portals. And we'll be back after these messages. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, I'm with Kusu Chuang and I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Morning Run. That song was Picture This by Blondie, the iconic singer. And, of course, we're just looking at the newspapers this morning. What do we have, Chuang? Why are you laughing?
The iconic singer.
She is iconic.
Deborah Harry. Of Blondie fame. She was quite the thing in the day.
She still is the thing, Chuang.
She is. And I stand corrected there, yes. Xiaoning.
What do you have in the Edge?
I've got the Edge Weekly. Page 14 bears mentioning. The politicians are at it again because they want to realign the ECRL, which is the East Coast Rail Link, because they want to get their grubby mitts on it. Because every time you have a realignment and the station runs through your town, you can have all kinds of bragging rights politically, bring wealth to the part of the world. And then
Your property suddenly goes kaboom.
And so obviously, the Edge have got this map and the alignment under the Barisan plan, and then there's the alignment under the Pakatan plan. So, I mean, politicians are politicians, right? So Kuala Terengganu, Telaga Papan over Bandar Permaisuri, right? Tok Bali over Jetteh, right, for example.
Just get it done, right?
I mean,
you
why?
Want this to be a multiplier effect on the economy.
Yes.
You want to create jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
The more you dither over the plan, the longer it'll take to roll out.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's the point?
Yeah, because they want to get rich, lah. Whoever these people might be. Page 52, Mohsin Abdullah, one of the better columnists in The Edge and one of the few good local ones, writing about the questions about having a prime minister from Sabah. Yes, it's time that we have someone from East Malaysia, but is Shafi Abdul the right man? Okay, so go and check out Mohsin's point of view inside there on page 52. And the main story, page 56, cover story by Kamarul Azhar and Wong Yilian. Six factors that could derail the market recovery, including political tensions and what have you. But I would just say there's only one thing that matters. It's the Fed and the Fed's liquidity. That's all.
It's the sugar rush. Yeah, I think as long as they keep rates ultra low, somehow markets will bob along unless the economy really tanks.
Yeah, you can't fight the Fed, man.
No, you can't fight the Fed. Meanwhile, on The Star, it's the headline, It's Time to Chuti Chuti Malaysia. And they've got a very interesting picture of a church that has reopened in your hometown, Pulau Tikus.
Oh, yeah.
And the way the church has practiced physical distancing is very clever along the pews. Because, of course, there's restrictions in terms of the number of people allowed in, right? So they've put pictures of saints in the pew so that you can't sit there. I think it's quite clever, though. So the other thing, the other little sidebar here is some jobs just won't work from home. And this is true. We keep talking about the new normal, but the new normal isn't normal for everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happens to those left behind?
Yeah. So since you mentioned churches, and so when you go to church, you say, hey, mate, you know, pull up a pew, right? And grab a seat. Then sit next to St. Paul. page 7 on the Star, again on Penang, the chief minister in Penang to be quizzed by the MACC. And upon being asked by reporters what that was about, Chow Kon Yao replied, probably the same, more or less the same old issues, whatever those issues might be.
... Meanwhile, we're looking at the Malaysian Reserve. The headline is long-term strategy needed for food security and self-sufficiency. Actually, we've been talking about this on the Morning Run for a while already. The fact that we rank so low when it comes to our food security. You know what's ironic? The country number one on the list is the tiny neighbour down south.
Singapore?
Yeah.
The postage stamp in the Pacific Ocean.
It has no land to grow anything. It has the best food security in the world. And I think we rank something like 20-something, which I don't understand. So
it's policy, It's policy. Right?
Now there's this question whether we should be pushing for more technology, more adoption of rigorous, intense R&D. I think we've talked about this, but at the end of the day, it's the implementation, right? That's the big question.
Well, policy is one thing, and then enforcement of the policy. Unfortunately, in Malaysia, there's a lot of grubby mitts in between the policymakers and the people. that's as much as I can say about that.
Meanwhile, we look at the Singapore Straits Times. Let's go and look at our neighbour down south, right?
I saw a very good article from the Straits Times Singapore, Leslie Lopez's piece about what's happening about the dragnet in Malaysia, the MACC, about the people being called up for questioning and the motivations therein. You should go and check it out.
Yeah, and sometimes there's also interesting articles from their Shannon Teo.
Shannon Teo is the local bureau chief, yeah?
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Who has... very funny, they have interesting stories on Malaysia, but their news in Singapore is rather dry. Ha! Huh.
Yeah. But yeah. They love to be titillated, but not at home.
Yeah. Well, their election is this coming Friday, and we will be covering it as the date gets closer, finding out what the opposition parties are up to and what are the leaders saying.
I want to see Sian Yang's majority over Sian Lung's majority.
He's not running.
He's not running, but no. He joined the opposition, didn't he?
He just joined the opposition to give them their support. But he hasn't actually fielded his name into the hat.
Yeah, you see, so that's like, you know, neither in nor out, You know, come on, Sian Yang, if you want to make a statement, make a full statement, man. Just don't have a full stop there and then don't continue.
That's a big statement by a Lee joining.
But that's Singapore for you, right? Everything's like so distilled.
That's all we have anyway this morning from the papers. Coming up next is the 7 a.m. news bulletin, followed by more business news and analysis. But first, here's... Get Over It by the Eagles.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.